So, seems like time is flying, huh? Wasn't it just spring a little while ago, and now it's winter? I mean, I totally miss summer, you know. But really, it seems like time does fly so fast anymore. I just can't keep up. This is going to make me sound like an old man. You know, you look around and, you know, we have so much information and technology at our fingertips. We know more stuff immediately than we ever did. And yet people seem dumber than they ever have. I mean, there's just a total lack of common sense, right? And all this information, or should I call it disinformation, just seems to be polarizing our nation and splitting people up. We have concerns about what's going on, what's going to happen next. You know, you look at that mess going on in Europe and you wonder, what's that mean for us? What's it mean for our economy? What's happening? You know, what does this mean for mankind? And it seems like our society is getting increasingly angry and greedy. They're selfish. They're obsessed with money, grabbing things. They become arrogant. They're mocking everything that's good. Hollywood especially just makes a mockery of what's good and idolizes what's evil. And that's what sells. You know, Hollywood does that because we buy that. If we didn't buy it, they wouldn't do it. Addiction is rampant. The family unit's all but forgotten. Even those that pretend they love God really don't pay much attention to him. Don't you feel blessed? You know, this is not a surprise. If we go to 2 Timothy, this was all foretold. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce. Check. People will be self-centered, lovers of themselves, and obsessed with money. Check, check. They will boast of great things as they strut around their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. They ignore their own families. Check, 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 and double check. Oh, he's not done yet. They go on. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. Slaves to their desires, they will be ferocious, belligerent haters of what is good and right. With brutal treachery, can you insert the word Putin there? They will act without restraint, bigoted and wrapped in the clouds of their conceit. They will find their delight in the pleasures of this world more than the pleasures of loving God. They may pretend to have respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from people like this. Boy, that sure seems like it nailed our times, didn't it? Yeah. So, in thinking about this, I think, what do people want? And what do we need? And I boil it down to about three things, okay? People are looking for direction. What should I do? What should I do with my finances? What should I do about my job? What should I do about my housing? What should I do about this? What should I do about that? We're looking for direction, a way. What's the way forward? We're looking for, what are the facts? What's real? You know, I get all this information, but I don't trust it. Can you tell me what's the truth? If you tell me the truth, doggone it, then I could make a decision. And we're looking for something that'll last. We're tired of throwaway society. I want something that'll last. And you know what? I don't want to just be plodding along day to day. I want to have life, and I want to enjoy life. That's what I want. Three things: direction, what's real, something that's going to last. Well, you know what? Jesus He was pretty smart. He knew that. And he summed this up in one verse. John 14:6. Jesus told him, well, to back up just a second, the disciples were questioning Jesus. He had told them what was going to be coming, and he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, and he was going to go to the Father, and he was instructing them to kind of follow his ways, and they said, but we don't even know where you're going. And this was his response. He told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So as I was preparing this message, the way, the truth, and the life, I almost missed it. The key part of this verse. Did you miss it? What's the first two words? I am. Made crystal clear to me last week when Sandy was speaking. And she said, Jesus said, I am the bread. And it caused an uproar among his listeners, because when he said, I am, he was letting it be known he's God. Okay? So a little history lesson. Let's back up a little bit to where this comes into play. You know, John, in 1 John, tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Goes on to tell us that there's nothing that was created was there except for the Word. And you know it. You've studied the Scriptures. You know, and God said, let there be light. How do you say something? The Word. The Word went forth and let there be light. And God said this, and God said that, and God said, let there be man. And God created man from the ground, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and all of that. But in the beginning was the Word. Okay? The I am. Too many people think Jesus started in the manger. No. That's just when the name for Jesus started. But the I am was always from the beginning. The Word spoke the world into existence. The Word came to Noah in a time not that different than ours, when there was a lot of garbage going on in the world, and God said, that's it, I'm done with them. I'm going to wipe this whole lot out. The Word of the Lord came to Noah. Go build a big boat, get your family on board, because the rest of this stuff is going. The Word of the Lord came to Abraham, minding his own business in the land of Ur. The Word of the Lord comes to him and says, hey, Abraham, well, he was Abram at the time, get up, go to a place you'll know nothing about. Well, not quite. He said, come with me to a place you know nothing about. Follow me, Abraham, and I will make you the leader, the beginning of a great nation. Follow me, Abraham. What's our theme this year? Follow Jesus. Who spoke to Abraham? The Word. I declare to you, my opinion, Jesus is the one speaking. Every time we hear the Word of the Lord came, the Word of the Lord came, John told us in the beginning was the Word. The Word came to Moses when he was on the backside of the desert running for his life, tending a bunch of stinking sheep, saw a bush on fire, and the Word of the Lord came out of the burning bush and spoke to him and gave him some instructions, said, Mo, I want you to go back down to Egypt, and I want you to lead my people out. And Moses protested, said, I tried that once. That's why I'm out here on the backside of the desert. They want to kill me down there. And besides, if I go, who do I say sent me? He said, say that I am sent you. This is the I am. The Word that spoke to Moses is the great I am. Okay, with that backdrop, that Jesus says, I am, let's look at the first one of the things that we need, some direction. I am the way. Now, the world is going to tell us that there's many ways to get to the Father. You can do this religion. You can follow these set of rules and do these things and don't do those things. You can try to stack up more good than bad. Or you can just ignore the whole thing. Forget about all the religion. Forget about all the believing. Forget about all that stuff. Just do your own thing. You know, if it feels good, do it. Most of you are too young to remember that from the 70s. But those of us who are around then, yeah, that was a common saying. If it feels good, do it. Hey, it's okay, man. Yeah. Okay. Well, the Bible has something to say about that. In Proverbs 14, 12 to 13, it says, there's a way that's of life that looks harmless enough. Look again. It leads straight to hell. Sure, those people appear to be having a good time, but all that laughter is going to end in heartbreak. And you know, I had some friends in high school that had kind of adopted that. Hey man, feels good. And you know, their life didn't turn out so well. Yeah, the world wants to tell you that the road is wide open and you get to choose whatever path you want to get to the Father. But the Bible, the Word says something very different. In fact, the Word spoken by the Word, Jesus himself, in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he tells us, enter through the narrow gate. Because the wide gate and the broad path is the way that leads to destruction. Nearly everyone chooses that crowded road. The narrow gate and the difficult way leads to eternal life. So few even find it. You see, Jesus didn't come to tell his disciples about the way. He did, or to show them the way, or guide them along the way. But he said, I am the way. How can we know the way to God? How do we know the way to the Father? Only through Jesus. He's the way because he is both God and man. The only way to get saved is to get right with God and to be born again. Again, a lot of people want to argue and say, well, that's too narrow. You're narrow-minded. That way is that's too restrictive. You know, it's not. It's wide enough for the whole world to get in. All you have to do is accept it. Instead of people saying that this is too limiting, what they should be saying is, thank God he provided a way. Because I was incapable, but he made a way. I was not worthy. But his goodness, his immense goodness, made a way. And oh, by the way, his immense worthiness translates into my goodness. He makes me good. We'll talk more about that in a bit. God's always there, whispering into our souls and speaking into our hearts. He's there when we're angry and confused and frustrated and scared and all of those things. He's there even when we're running and too busy to listen to him. He shows us the way if we choose to look for it. So Matthew 11, 28 to 30. He says, are you tired? Anybody else? Are you worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn, I love this phrase, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Unforced. I don't have to try to conjure it up. It just comes. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's why our theme is follow Jesus. Keep company with me, and I'll show you how to do it. Oh, this confuses people, though. It really does. Because they wait a minute, that's too easy. I mean, don't I have to stop smoking and drinking and cussing and running around and all that stuff? Surely I got to do all those things before I can come to God, before I'm good enough. So they tell you things like, once I get my act cleaned up, I'll come back to church and we'll look at this God thing. But right now, I'm just too messed up to come back to God. I've heard that. To that, I reply, well, with a question. Any fishermen out there? Are you guys fishermen? When do you clean the fish? Before you catch them or after?
After.
So when does God want to do the cleaning up? After. Because guess what? You can't clean up ahead of time. And you don't expect the fish to clean themselves up before you catch them. It would be nice, but probably not going to happen. Yeah. So in John 7:37, Jesus said, anyone who's thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. He creates that new life within us, those rivers of living water that burst forth from within us. It's not something we conjure up. It's something he puts in us and bursts forth a new life. When we come to Jesus in our mess and our brokenness, he helps us out of the mess. And he takes our brokenness and he puts us back together the way we were supposed to be. You know, when God looks at you, he says, Ken, you were my best idea. I have such dreams for you. Jack, you're my best idea. Doug, God says, you're my best idea. And God can say that because he's infinite. He can have a billion best ideas. And they're all different. He doesn't expect Matt to be Ken or Ken to be Janet. No, he has a best idea for each one of us and what he wants us to be. And if we would partner with him, he takes our mess and our brokenness and turns it all upside down and creates us the way he wanted us to be. Which leads me to the next item, truth. Truth. The last 2 years have taught us anything is, I'm done with disinformation, thank you very much. I want the truth. And when I listen to someone telling me something, the first thing I do is follow the money. What are they trying to sell me? If they're trying to sell me something, they're probably lying to me. Yeah, we want to hear the truth today. We're sick and tired of phony, artificial fads, movements, whims. We need to know what's genuine and real. It's time for truth in all things. John 14:6, back to that verse, the truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. Not I'm going to tell you the truth. I am the truth. Which means that we're never going to know the truth in anything unless we've heard from Jesus about it first. Truth is a person, not a concept. Let me break that down for you on how Jesus illustrated this when he was on this earth. Recall early in his ministry, he was along the shores of Galilee teaching people, and he stepped into a boat that was tied up along the shore, and he spoke from the boat. Brilliant idea, by the way. When you're standing out on the water speaking, the water, the surface of the water, amplifies the sound waves and makes it easier to hear. Brilliant. How did he know that? Oh yeah, he created that. Yeah. He knew more about sound engineering than we'll ever understand. But you see him doing that. He uses nature to amplify his sound so they can hear. Because they didn't have mics and speakers and all that kind of stuff. Well, anyhow, he finishes his talk to the people. And then he turns to Peter, who owned the boat, and said, hey, maybe he's thinking, I owe you something for using your boat. Why don't you push out here and let down your nets and catch a great catch? Get a bunch of fish, that'll pay for the boat. What's Peter do? You know the story. He says, Lord, we've been fishing all night. There's nothing out there. We're tired. We were just sitting here mending our nets. Now I want to go home and get some sleep, get a little something to eat, because guess what? I'm going to be back out here tonight trying again. So there's nothing out there. But the truth spoke. And something resonated with Peter. He said, nevertheless, Lord, because you say it, we'll do it. And out they go. You know the story. They let down the nets, and what happens? They're full. In fact, there's so many fish in the net, they can't bring it in. He has to holler to James and John, two of his partners in business, to come over and help them haul the nets to shore. What a great turnaround. It was true they hadn't caught anything all night. But when truth spoke, things changed. Now what happens next has kind of always had me intrigued. They've had their best day of fishing ever. And what do? They leave their nets and follow Jesus. What? What happened to all the fish? Well, I'm hoping there was more partners in the fishing business and they were able to take the fish into town and sell them and, you know, pay off some debts and provide for families and all that stuff. But it's interesting, you know, walk out of your job on the best day you've ever had. A little later on, not too long later, a few months maybe, a few weeks, I don't know. The Bible's really clear about it. But at any rate, Jesus and these new disciples of his are at a wedding. And there's a problem with the wine. And it's true. Mary comes and confirms. She said to Jesus, hey, we've run out of wine. And, you know, he starts with this, not my problem, not my party. And I think she gave him one of those mother looks. She doesn't say much, but you all know the mother look, you know. Without saying anything to him, she turns to the servants and say, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And then she gives him another one of those looks, like you better do something. It was true. They were out of wine. But truth spoke. And the jugs of water turned into the best wine they had and saved the day. The Bible is full of examples like this. People who were blind, lame, leprosy, even some dead children. But they encounter the truth, and suddenly the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and people are raised from the dead. One more from the Gospels. If you recall the time when they were going from one side of the Sea of Galilee to another, in a boat again, these guys liked the boat. That's because they didn't have Harleys then. That's the whole thing. They're going across the lake. Jesus apparently had been exhausted by all the people, and where's he? Well, he's asleep in the back of the boat. The disciples, who were fishermen, professional fishermen all their lives, mind you, they are scared to death because the winds and the waves came up. And they said, we're about to die here. Now, they knew Jesus was in the boat, right? And they'd seen him turn water into wine, but they weren't thinking about having a drink right now. They'd seen him break loaves of bread and fish and feed the multitudes, but when you're on a stormy sea, eating is not the first thing on your mind because it probably wasn't going to stay down anyway. They'd watched all these miracles, but those weren't what they needed right now. What do they say? We're going to die. We're about to perish. They forgot. Truth is asleep in the back of the boat. And when truth woke up and spoke to the disciples and to the wind and to the waves, everything changed. The winds and the waves obeyed him and they calmed down. The scared disciples listened and they calmed down too. And they began to know Jesus in a way they hadn't known him before. This was huge. Now we see that even nature obeys him. So often when we're faced with a frightening situation, we look at our situation and see how truly bad it is, and we panic and we say, Lord, save me, I'm perishing. God reminds us of his power and his provision and says, I got this. It's nothing. I got this. Just relax. I got it all under control. You see, Jesus is truth, not opinion, but truth, even if the world does deny it. And I want to tell you, truth is more than you think he is. If you're in a storm right now, is truth asleep in the back of your boat? Wake him up. Talk to him. Let him speak to your situation. Let him speak to your storm. Don't limit Jesus to those areas where you've known him before. We do that. We think, well, okay, he was able to take care of this, but this one's really big. No, he's big enough. It's why it's so important for us to get together like this and worship together and hang out. Come in early, talk with each other, hang around afterwards, because you tell me your miracles and it builds my faith. I tell you my miracles and it builds your faith. We share each other's miracle stories. Oh, it's great. I love hearing, hey, I had this going on and whew, God showed up. Man, I thought the sail was going to fall through and whoop, God showed up and the sail went through. Whatever you need, if you're wondering if Jesus is able to help, someone asked him once, remember, that had a sick kid and said, Lord, are you, if you're able, and Jesus said, if I'm able, yes, I am. And while we're on this idea of truth, don't allow yourself to be defined by some perceived dysfunction. You're more than that. Have you ever been suffering under the opinion that of other people that say, you're stupid, you're lazy, you're a loser, you're ugly, any of those things? Hear from the truth things like Romans 1:7, you're loved by God. Colossians 3:12, you're chosen of God, holy and beloved. 2 Corinthians 3:5, our qualifications come from God. Proverbs 12:2, we obtain favor from the Lord. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. When you're in Christ, you're a new creation. That messed up, stupid loser you used to be got recreated. And now you're a new creation. All those times when you thought you weren't enough, now you're enough. All those times when you thought you weren't good, he made you good. God arranged a salvation plan to make you enough. Back to John 14:6. Third point. We're headed into the home stretch. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life. Not just existence, but true and everlasting life, both now and forevermore. I love the way Sandy put it last week. She took the word eternal and replaced it with perpetual. The perpetual life. It's not in the sweet by and by after we die. It's life now, and it's perpetual that continues on through. And aren't we all searching for something that lasts? You look for that utopian life. You know you do. You go on vacation. What's the first thing you wish for? Another week of vacation. Absolutely. Oh, if I could only win the lottery, and then I'd be set for life. Yeah, probably not. Probably make bigger mistakes than you do now. We think this is the life. You know, if I could just get, you know, how much money do you need? I think it was Rockefeller that said, just a little more. You know, just a little more. Look at John 10:10. Before I read that, let's think about what we've just talked about. These notions that the world gives us, that if I could have a bigger car, newer car, bigger house, younger wife, you know, all. She's not here. She can't throw anything at me. But the world will tell you that. And you all know people who that was their life. Newer car, bigger house, and younger wife. I had a boss that was that way. Guess what? He lost the car, he lost the house, and he lost the wife. Yeah, because the newer wife didn't want to be around him when he lost all the other stuff. Anyhow, back to the message. All of those things are thieves. And Jesus said, the Word said, the great I Am said, a thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. His dreams for you are bigger than you can imagine. Partner with him and learn about his dreams. We go on John 6:35-37. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Sandy used this last week. The person who aligns with me hungers no more and thirsts no more, ever. I've told you this explicitly because even though you have seen me in action, you don't really believe me. Every person the Father gives me eventually comes running to me, and watch this piece. And once that person is with me, I hold on and I don't let go. Once we align our hearts with him, he holds on and he don't let go. Even when you want him to sometimes, because you want to do this thing over here and he doesn't want you to do that thing. And we try to go do it and you feel rotten about it because he's not letting go. Maybe you don't go through those struggles like I do. But once we've tasted of the bread of life, we don't hunger for the slop of this world. Now, my illustration is probably different than yours, but once I tasted mom's apple pie, and the crap you get in the store just doesn't taste the same. And I'm just bothered that I gotta wait until I get to eternity to taste her pie again. But anyhow, but hey, our money is gonna perish. Our vacations will end. Beauty will fade. But Jesus doesn't end. And you know something? The older I get, you know, I sound like an old guy, and there's probably a reason for that, truth be told. But the older I get, the more I've come to believe that the simple life is the abundant life. Because the more stuff I own, the more the stuff owns me. The more things I acquire, the more time I spend trying to take care of those things. The more I get rid of unnecessary things, the simpler life is. Our theme this year has been follow Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Everything you're looking for can be found in him. All your questions can be answered by him. Don't look to the world for your answers, because all they got's disinformation. They're trying to sell you something. Turn to him while he may be found, and whatever it takes, turn to him sooner rather than later. I really believe we are living in the last days. That 2 Timothy scripture, it looked like we were reading the newspaper. You don't want to miss the way, the truth, and the life. And it's simple. It really is simple. Accept him as your Lord, your way to the Father, and believe that he is enough. You don't have to try to do all these good deeds and try to avoid all these bad deeds. Let him worry about that. You come to him, he'll clean the fish later. You're the fish, by the way. He's the fisherman. Because Jesus is God, we can be assured that what his plan has stated is good enough, because he's God. It's his plan. It's not my plan. It's not ORC's plan of this is how you do it. It's God's plan. So it's good enough. That pretty well sums it up. You know, trust in him. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, it's pretty simple. It's, I'm a mess. You're not a mess. Will you accept me? Because I want to accept you as my Lord. And I will gladly give up all this stuff and the rest of my days here on earth so that I can spend all my eternity with you. I will relinquish control. That's hard, because we were trained to control. But it's easier if we relinquish control. Because, good news for you, you never had any control anyhow. You only thought you did. The world was lying to you. You never had any control. If you did, it wouldn't have snowed last night. Right? Unless there's somebody in here that wanted to go skiing, but I doubt that. Okay? Just give our life to him. Let him take control and go on from there. Okay? Well, Sandy and the rest of the girls will be back next week. I think, now Doug said they were, did you call them Spice Girls in the beginning? The salt and pepper? Is that what you called?
A spicy group.
Yeah, Spice Girls. Oh, well. Okay. Sandy will be back next week. Doug is speaking next week. He's going to kick us off on a new message called, well, let's see, the theme. Oh, there it is. Lamb of God. And the message, Mary had a little lamb. This ought to be interesting. Okay? So come back next week. And with that being said, I just want to pray a blessing over you, Lord. Clean up our messes. Lead us your way. Help us to continually hear the way, the truth, and the life. Let us follow Jesus. Bring the ladies home safely. Help us to go forth and be amazing this week. In Jesus' name, amen.